hands when we go inside. Also, I want to bring in the tarot cards a wee bit. So I'm just going to remind you the process that happens. So, also graph the Kabbalistic cross on a bit. So in a sense, this sphere here at the top represents the deepest part of our being. It's called Keter, the crown. It's like the most profound, deepest root of our being. When we begin the Kabbalistic cross and touch our heads, we say the word Ate, which is an acknowledgement of that deep, most deepest place. Here, down at the bottom of the outermost place, we have this sphere called Malkut, the kingdom, earth, the body. So when we say, with the Kabbalistic cross, we say Ate Malkut. We draw this line down our body, connecting the deepest place with the most outermost place, or the highest with the depth, whichever. We're connecting those opposites together. When we say Vegebura, we're acknowledging that place of will and clarity. It's the martial energy, it's Mars. When we say Vegedula, this is the place of love and compassion. It's the Jupiter archetype. And then we bring everything together at the place of the heart, which is the here, heart. And we say, Le Olam Amen. Le Olam means everything. It means everything coming together at the level of the heart, at the place where all the opposites come together. The opposites of Mars and Jupiter, the opposite of the height and the depth. And Amen, of course, means let it be so. It's an act of will and intention. It's an act of prayer. Let it be like this. So what the prayer does, let us connect together the deepest place and the most outer place. Let us connect together the place of will and the place of love. Let's connect together the sword and the cauldron. And may they come together everywhere forever. May that those qualities touch all parts of my life. So when we make this little practice of the Kabbalistic cross, it is in effect a sort of a gesture of prayer and intention that says we're uniting these different parts of our being, centering everything in the heart, and then letting that sense of balance of life just touch everything. So that's this sort of underneath intention. Now in practice, when we are working with our experience, a lot of times we don't have a Malkut, we don't have any sense of any of this at all. But we can, when we're just lost in our lives, where that bit sort of vanishes. And here, because in a sense, what the heart place here represents is that quality of intuition. So it's the solar place, it's the sun. It's intuition, it's that sense of presence. Here we've got Mercury and the mind, Venus and the feelings. And then we've got this sphere here that's called Yesod, that's called the foundation and is connected with the moon. And it's the treasure house of images. So it's images, it's memory. It's the storehouse of things. And it's a mirror. It reflects. Now what we're seeking to do is to connect up all parts of our beings so that there's a sense of containment and relationship between the different parts of ourselves. And in an ideal world, these different places reinforce each other and create a balanced system that is a living tree that's continually growing in a healthy kind of way. Okay, that's the deeper image. In practice, however, our systems are to different degrees quite disorganized, and different parts quite often fight against each other. And the process that happens, so the process that's really important here is to make links between these different parts of ourselves. So the mind somehow links with feelings, that links with intuition, links with the energy of clarity, so that the moon and our sense of image relates to the mind. And as we link things together, what starts to happen, because the natural growth, in a way, that some places will be enlarged, some places will be too small, some paths of relationship will feel clear and open, some will feel completely blocked. So the actual growth of the tree is probably a lot more twisty and convoluted than appears here. But what we're trying to do with these exercises, first of all, of establishing presence in the body and then starting to engage in our subjective world, is to make clearer some of these connections between these different parts of ourselves. Now, at some very early point, the people who developed this mandala of the Tree of Life noticed that there were 22 paths, which equated for them with the 22 Hebrew letters, but also very usefully linked to the 2022 trumps of the tarot. And the tarot started to be looked at as a visual replica of the Tree of Life, because you've got 10 numeral cards, which can represent the 10 spheres. You've got 22 trumps, which represent the connections between them. And then we've got these 16 page cards, which can represent sub-personalities of the person who is engaging with the tree in the paths. I'm going to do sub-personalities now, but I want to look at what happens when we start to look at the connections between the lower part of the tree. I'm just going to invert everything for a moment. There you go. So, if you like, the very first step is to get some sense of presence in the body, some sense of anchor to our inner experience, and therefore you start to create a boundary between the outside and the inside. So what starts to happen then is there are basically three things that start to happen once you do that. And basically, three paths of connection start to be made from the body. So there's one to the pool of subjectivity and image in Yesod, one between the body and the mind, and one between the body and the feelings. So the path between the moon and the body is given this tarot trump, the world. And it represents, in a way, the entering into the subjective universe. So this is the doorway. So as we become present in the body, and as we start to look inwards, we become aware of the world inside us. Now, we've got this interesting figure who is a sort of hermaphroditic figure holding two wands, dancing in a wreath. And we've got representations of the four archangels. So it's the beginning of entering into this inner mandala. So the figure we encounter represents the whole world of our subjective nature. And the impression that we have is that we're entering into this big field that's held somewhere by the four great archangels. And the impression is that we're going to have to learn to dance, which is a nice image. And we have to dance with these two energies. So there's such the he-she figure, and the hermaphroditic thing is quite important in a way, is holding these two kind of wands. And it's the path in the middle, so it's the path between opposites that's being looked at there. I don't know the other ones. Okay, that's a bit odd. Oh, they're here. Hid them in front of me. Now, the other thing that starts to happen is we start to find a relationship between the mind and the body starts to develop. I get this resurrection card, judgment. And it's an interesting card. We've got this angel sort of blowing his trumpet. And sealed coffins are opening up, and they're floating on a sea. But they're opening up and they're sort of coming into the light. Yeah. So the image is a resurrection. It's a resurrection image. Now, what starts to happen if you get present in your body and start to connect your mind and your body is that your thoughts and sensations start to create a relationship between each other. So what starts to happen is that thoughts are not just random floating sort of things, so that they start to become present. There's a sort of sense of presence and substance. Similarly, the body, which can be experienced as this dense, dissociated place, starts to relate to thought and can become alive. So if anyone's practiced Buddhist mindfulness of body, as you pay attention to the relationship between mind and body, you start to notice your thinking affects your mind. Thinking affects your body, and your body and also your body experience affects your mind. You start to create a relationship. So what was previously separated and starts to come to life. And what particularly starts to happen is you start to get insights into your own subjectivity. You start to become more aware. The mind, instead of flying off all over the place, gets interested in the act of inquiry. And in that process, you become aware. One of the first things you become aware of is you get more pain at first, because you become more aware of the pain that you're unconscious of in your body. So it's like these things start to wake up and ask for attention, basically. So there is that experience of the body starting to wake up and the mind getting interested in the body, and something new starts to arise as we do that. The other thing that happens is that we start to get a relationship with the body and our feeling nature. And this is sort of represented here in this card, the moon. Now, the card, the moon, is interesting, really, because this is a sense of moving into a watery landscape. So we become more aware of our feeling nature, but of course the nature of this is in a way quite a the Hebrew letter that attached to this one is the letter shin. It's a letter of fire, so it's a more fiery, insightful seeing into things, being aware. Whereas this quality on the other side is watery. Feelings are much more watery, and so there's a sense of the landscape opening up in a more watery, fluid kind of way. But we've got these strange towers, we've got dogs and dog and a wolf baying at the moon together. We've got this odd insect coming out of the pool. So there's a sort of everything is not very defined. This is much clearer. There's a sense of opening up and kind of insight and things awakening. On this side, we've got much more sense of feeling our way. Now, where that starts to lead us to is we're starting to create almost like a chalice form or a cauldron form at the bottom of the tree. Because as things start to connect together, we start to create feedback loops between these different places. As we more deeply move through the path of connection to the moon as well, we start to then to engage with our own, if you like, pool of subjectivity. In a sense, if you like, the moon is this almost like a lake inside us, a lake of image, of memory, of our sense of ourself, image of ourself and image of the world. As we start to follow these exercises and move into relationship with the moon, That part then starts to relate. Everything starts to become more conscious. All of this, until we do this work, is really unconscious. So we then start to create relationship between, conscious relationship between the mind and the pool of images and the feelings in the pool of images. And again, classically, the images here is that we get here the image of the place that connects this is the image of the sun. So we get it's a sense of consciousness, of the consciousness of the mind starting to illuminate the images of the moon. So we get this interplay of the images, the subjective images become lucent, become more understood. So there's a sense of dawning light. Okay, which is this is one side of our being, right? This is the side, the mental side of our being starts to understand the unconscious. We start to understand our patterns, we start to get a sense of why we do things and why things keep repeating. We start to make sense of our childhood maybe, or of some of these strange things that just keep on going on, keep on happening to us. The connection really, however, between the moon and feelings is the star. And so here we're not in the realm of that kind of blinding kind of light. We're in the sense of we've got an image of a naked woman pouring water into the pool and also pouring water onto the land. We've got a sense of two realms that are separate starting to irrigate each other. And the light is starlight. So again, this is the kind of feeling quality that comes with the inner images. It is much more like the world of starlight than the world of the kind of conscious understanding. But it has its own kind of energy. And it's got quite a lot of sense of flow about it. So there is a flowing kind of movement happening between the world of between the pool of images and the world of present feeling. Now we're just going to look at two more paths, and then we'll leave it at that, really. But one other thing for today. What then starts to happen, as all these things come together, there is an inevitable relationship that starts to happen between the mind and the feelings. And there's a very interesting card given to that, which is the Tower. The falling down of the house of life. And it's a very martial card. It's about, and the top of the tower in particular is blown off. We've got a male and a female figure falling down, and the image is the whole place. The place is on fire, so it's going to burn to the ground. Now, it's kind of not what we would expect. Given, you know, putting together mind and feelings, you'd think of a marriage, you'd think of something, you know, much rather more peaceful happening. But actually, what happens, this is in a way the result of all these different connections coming together, which simultaneously starts to create a container for inner energies, but it also massively starts to deconstruct us. Because this house that has to fall down is the house that's been unconsciously built in reaction to our experiences. So our relationship between our mind and our feelings, and it is profoundly orchestrated in a way and developed by how we've had to manage our early life, mostly. So as we, if you like, start to bring these places to life and start to use the reflective mirror of the moon and start to connect everything up, what starts to happen is things that were held down or just latent start to become active. Now that, it's a dramatic looking card. That shift doesn't have to be dramatic, as we were saying earlier. But there is a falling apart of the current house of life as a different relationship between our mind and our feelings start to come into play. And a very different relationship then between mind and body, mind and feelings, and a relationship between the outer world and the inner world are also part of this. So that, in a way, that this card is a fruit of a lot of a great deal of inner work. And it's and there's one other thing that comes into play here, which is the relationship between the sun and the moon, which is this card called Temperance. So we have the image of a solar angel. It's the Archangel Raphael, who is the angel of newness, who is mixing things together, who's got one foot on the land, one foot in the water. He's got the sun shining out of his head. And beyond him, there's a path leading to the sun, which is the place of the heart. Now, this is the connection, if you like, between what we might call the outer personalities and that deeper place of presence, that place of awareness that continually brings things together. So, at this level, what we're doing as we work with this lower part of the tree in these exercises, what we're doing is bringing these paths out of a kind of a latent place into into active conscious awareness. It's not that these places don't connect anyway, and they will have their connections, but as we consciously start doing it, what happens there becomes a dialogue between the conditioned way we handle these parts of ourselves and what happens when we get present here and now with them. Now, the useful thing about this is just an image and a diagram in a way is that it gives us something to reflect on. Again, it's like the stories. It's a picture. It's a picture that's only useful if we use it as an aid to our own reflection. So these cards are helpful if they bring some connection to us between mind and body, mind and Yesod. Feeling and Yesod, feeling and Malkut. So, again, they're sort of, you could say, they're experiments we can make, of experiments of inquiry we can make, to really look at what happens to us if we contemplate the relationship between the mind and the body, and we have this, and we look at that, therefore contemplate this card. What do we see in it? What we feel when we touch into that. But what the overall intention, forgetting about the cards for a moment, is that we create a container. That's what we're seeking to do here, is to create a container that can hold and express the deeper energies that are underneath. So they can express that sense of presence, that it can express this energy of clarity and will, and become a vehicle for energy of love and compassion, and here this sense of mystery that's continually arising out of the deepest parts of our being, which are the kind of, if you like, our spiritual root, the archetypal masculine, the archetypal feminine in us. Not too concerned about all this right now, because what we're trying to do here is create the container that allows that energy to come through. If we create a flexible but firm container, then we can relax and allow the inner energies just to flow through us. But in that process, and it's why that process of transition always involves some reorganization. Because actually, in reality, let me take the cards away for a minute. Where in reality, what happens is, for some of us, the mind will be massive. Some of us, the feelings will be massive. For some of us, our sense of memory and dwelling on the past and recycling that will be enormous and mixed up. So actually, here we're able to look at relationships much more as like a tangle of spaghetti. Right, so that's much more with things bouncing around. Some things go latent in some conditions, open in others. So it's not even stable in time. You know, the picture can change sometimes from week to week. Although there will be some defining kind of features, which we normally think of as our character. What we think, what character in a way is the, we could say, are the repetitive patterns that we have learned as ways of keeping us safe. So our habitual reactions, habitual ways of thinking, feeling and imagining are our personality and character. What we're seeking to do with this in some ways is to take some of the energy out of these habitual places to create a more responsive, fluid and flexible container, yet nonetheless has a sense of solidity about it. So whenever we do these different exercises, what we're doing is affecting this whole system, aiming to clear away. That's why the death energy, the destructive energy, in a way is really quite important, because a lot of this stuff needs to die off so that new energies, new life can emerge and find new relationship. And what we're doing then is cooperating deeply with the energies that are coming from the depth. Now what happens to these energies of the depth, as they touch the outer person, the personality, their energy often gets stopped or deflected. So we're trying to cooperate with these deeper energies. So as they, you know, they need a container, they need to be expressed through relationship, through the body, through our senses. But we're trying to clear the tangle that so these energies can come through clearly with full confidence. And in a way, when we make the Kabbalistic cross, we're expressing that intention, that making that prayer, in fact, that the energies can come all the way down clearly, and that the energies of love and will can center in the heart and then express themselves through our body and our senses and our relationships. That's the point of the prayer, really. I'm just going to stop that now.